in a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Hey, good evening, everyone. And I want to welcome everyone. And of course, I'm sitting here and looking at some things here. My layout, for one. Anyway, I don't know why we have college football on there, but we're going to take a look at that real quick and figure that one out. Oh, man. Anyway, I want to welcome you all. And I'm not sure why I have that on there, but I want to welcome you all to Life Walk with Christ God. There we go. I know why we got it on there. And tonight, we are going to be jumping around. And we've got all kinds of spots to jump at. But I was reading the lesson today. I have a Bible app, and it's called YouVersion. I like it a lot. I think it's absolutely wonderful. You can get it in any translation you want. You want to do King James, you want to do NIV. I like NIV. I think NIV explains it a lot easier than King James. And I've read both. I've read one three times for King James, and I've read, like three times for NIV, and I like NIV. Works real nice. Today, we were in some different ones, and I like this one today. I'm going to pull it up. It was Psalms. So Psalms, as we know, was written by David. And they're wonderful, just a wonderful poetic tribute to God, praising and glorifying God. And today we're gonna talk about this real quick because I like this one. This one was great. So let me get on with it.
Psalm 68. For the director of music of David, a psalm, a song. May God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him. May you blow them away like smoke, as wax melts before the fire. May the wicked perish before God, but may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God. Sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. But the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. When you, God, went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth shook, the heavens poured down rain. Before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel, you gave abundant showers, O God. You refreshed your weary inheritance. Your people settled in it, and from your bounty, God, you provided for the poor. The Lord announces the word, and the women who proclaim it are a mighty throng. Kings and armies flee in haste. The women at home divide the plunder. Even while you sleep among the sheep pens, the wings of my dove are sheathed with silver, its feathers with shining gold. When the Almighty scattered the kings in the land, it was like snow fallen on Mount Zalmon. Mount Bashan, majestic mountain, Mount Bashan, rugged mountain. Why gaze in envy, you rugged mountain, at the mountain where God chooses to reign, where the Lord himself will dwell forever? The chariots of God are tens of thousands and thousands of thousands. The Lord has come from Sinai into his sanctuary. When you ascended on high, you you took many captives. You received gifts from people, even from the rebellious, that you, Lord God, might dwell there. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. Surely God will crush the heads of his enemies, the hairy crowns of those who go on in their sins. The Lord says, I will bring them from Bashan. I will bring them from the depths of the sea, that your feet may wade in the blood of your foes, or the tongues of your dogs have their share. Your procession, God, has come into view, the procession of my God and King into the sanctuary. In front are the singers, after them the musicians. With them are the young women, playing the timbrels. Praise God in the great congregation. Praise the Lord in the assembly of Israel. There is the little tribe of Benjamin leading them. There the great throng of Judah's princes, and there the princes of Zebulun and of Naphtali. Summon your power, God. Show us your strength, our God, as you have done before. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring you gifts. Rebuke the beast among the reeds, the herd of bulls among the calves of the nations. Humbled, may the beast bring bars of silver. Scatter the nations who delight in war. Envoys will come from Egypt. Cush will submit herself to God. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Sing praise to the Lord, to him who rides across the highest heavens, the ancient heavens, who thunders with mighty voice. Proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose power is in the heavens. You, God, are awesome in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God.
And, you know, you could take a lot of different things. And like I said, the Bible's always open to interpretation. I'm not a priest, rabbi, deacon, clergy. I'm nothing. You know, I'm not a pastor. I'm nobody. Just somebody that loves to read the Bible. But it shows hope. It shows God's great mercy that he has for us. It shows the way that he is continually there. And it also gives a very good, strong idea that you can have everything that you want, but he could take it away at any time too. Worshiping and praising God, our one and only God, is just incredible. And if you go that through that in life, you will see things change. I've seen things change. And I love this. And no matter how many times we make a mistake and we have chosen to follow God, chosen to follow Christ, he's there. It doesn't matter what our major mistake is, as long as we're constantly trying to get better all the time. I said this before, spiritual battle is the toughest battle that we'll ever fight. It's relentless, and the prince of this world, the dark prince of this world, is he just doesn't stop. So we have to be able to, you know, get past this and work in our minds every day to be better and better and better. And it's hard to do in a day like today, in today's world. It's extremely difficult. People cut each other off. There's road rage. They behave poorly on Black Fridays. They behave poorly on the internet because there's nobody that is on the other side that is watching them. So they'll say anything, truth or lie. They don't care. It's basically their own how they feel and their opinion, not in God's opinion, not in God's, you know, standing. Not, you know, first of all, none of us, how are we to know what God thinks, what God wants? How are we to know the thoughts? His thoughts are above our thoughts. His thinking is above our thinking. So the problem is that we get caught up with the here and now instead of looking at, wow, maybe that wasn't the best thing to say, or maybe that's not the right way to say it. And that's the problem. And I think people today are in a world of hate. They're in a world of self-righteousness. And they want to criticize and just attack everybody else's behavior and everything else without looking at themselves. We call that narcissism. And they want to blame you for everything. And they take no responsibility for their own actions. And this is what we have going on in today's world. They've lost their compassion. They've lost their empathy. And you can understand why God has been angry with us for so long, even after he sent his one and only son to save us, to redeem us, to give us a chance of eternal life. If you put him down here today, they would crucify him all over again. This would be a world that is unaccepting. It'd be hostile to God, to Christ. And that is the problem with us. We are a stiff-necked people. There is no question. But the good news is, the great news is that for those that do follow Christ, that do try every day to get better and better and better, and that do honor him, his forgiveness is just limitless. And that's the wonderful thing. That's how God has displayed himself. This is how God has shown himself to be from the old covenant to the new covenant. He's never been indifferent about this. He has been very straightforward and done this. I mean, listen, he was mad at Israelites when they were coming up out of Egypt. To the point, if you go back to Hebrews 33, God was very clear. I am not going to go with you, because if I do, I will destroy you along the way because of what you've done, because of how you've acted. You're a stiff-necked people. And, you know, Moses is constantly intercession for Moses because of the way that these people acted. We saw this. I mean, and it was ridiculous. God takes you out of a place that you were slaves, you were beaten, you were abused, you were mourning, you were crying out to him. He come, he gets you, he takes you out, and you still rebel. And you rebel even worse in a lot of circumstances than what it was before he even took you out. So, but yet, he still forgave. And yet he kept his word to Abram, who became Abraham. He kept his word to Isaac. He kept his word to Jacob. And he doesn't waver, unlike human beings. Oh, well, we get on shaky ground, we waver. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But yet his love, his mercy, his grace, everything is still there. And God has always been, according to him, he will show compassion on who he will show compassion. He will show mercy on who he will show mercy. That's Hebrews, not Hebrews, Exodus 33. And I meant to say that earlier, not Hebrews, Exodus 33. But if you go and you've looked at every single thing throughout the entire Bible, how he's handled things, has been absolutely incredible. That's why I said this is the greatest love story that ever was. Let's go into a couple other things because there's some great stuff, and we're going to get out of that one. And here's an example right here of how God carries us and everything that he's done for you. And I wanted you to listen to this. This isn't long.
Hi, my name is Lupolo from South Africa. And the verse of the day is Psalm 68, verse 19. And it reads, "Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens." The first point from this is that God's faithfulness is not just occasional, but it is actually daily. People come and go. Jobs come and go. Some relationships come and go. And some seasons in our life come and go. When it comes to God, God's faithfulness is daily. It's not even dependent on how we respond or what we do, but it's based on him. God's faithfulness is daily. The second point is that God doesn't just watch our burdens. He actually carries them. He doesn't just spectate over your burdens. He doesn't just look at them and maybe even feel bad about them. But God's arms are so big that he actually wants to carry your burdens. He doesn't just want to look at them and maybe even sympathize over them with you, but he actually wants to carry them. We have a God, friends, that wants to carry our burdens. He wants to take the burdens off you so that you can put it on him. The interesting thing about God and the fact that he carries our burdens is that he wants to carry our burdens. He actually wants to carry our burdens, my burdens and your burdens. There's no burden too big. There's no burden too small. There's no burden too complex. There's no burden too hard. Our God wants to carry your burdens. And lastly, our right response to this as you look at the psalm is praise and not worry. Praise be to God.
And I think that that's important that we do that, understand something. For everything that he's carried for us, for all the problems that we presented him, understand, he doesn't need us, we need him. And he doesn't need us. And as a matter of fact, we are an eyesore. We are just reprehensible. I mean, the burdens that we have are from us. And we get all this worry and we heap it upon him. And God, no matter what, wants to know what our problems are. Why? Real simple. He wants to hear from us. He wants to love us. He wants us to love him and for him to be our God, so that we're not sitting here and praising a piece of wood. And believe it or not, people did that. Back in the day, they would take this beautiful, whether it's an oak or a cypress or acacia or whatever, and cut it down, and then they would cut part of it, have somebody with cunning work that would carve out whatever statue or whatever else out of it, you know, make it nice, overlay it with silver and gold, and then they would turn around and cut the rest of it that was useless now and turn it into what? They would turn it into firewood, and they cooked their food and heat up or keep warm with it. Ah, the warmth. It's good. But that wood can do nothing for you. It's no different than the wood you just burned in the fire. And that's the problem that I think that we have. We're so arrogant and just self-gratifying that we forgot to just take a deep breath and praise God and say, listen, I know that every single thing that I have, I know that everything good in my life comes from you. Comes from you, God. Comes from you, Jesus. Comes every single thing. And we don't realize, I think, in our time, how powerful God is. People have this worldly thought, and you get hung up in the boundaries of the very foundations that God laid out, the very lengths, the widths, and everything else that he laid these out. And we sit here, we're stuck in these boundaries, and God is outside of these things. And they can't grasp the concept that God is outside of time, space, and matter. You think the universe, oh, it's vast. God created the universe. So if God created the universe, which I know he did, then he has to be outside of the universe in order to create the universe. I mean, these are just common sense questions and, you know, and ideas and the knowledge. But we're small thinkers. We are not. We think we're smart. We think we have wisdom. We think we have knowledge. But the truth is, we don't. Very clear in Job, we didn't. Very clear in a few others, Saul and Kings with David. It got to the point, Saul forgot how good God was, and David became his enemy because God chose David over him. So from then on in, he was a lifelong enemy. And yet, Jonathan, his son, loved David as himself. He just loved his brother and did everything he could to protect him. And he was loyal to his father, too, and died with him. Crazy. But this is how the world thinks. And Saul did foolish things that really did upset God. God didn't take Saul right away from when he made those mistakes. But he said, you're not going to be king. You're not going to rule these people. I'm going to choose somebody that is after my own heart. And what did he mean by that? After my own heart. Somebody who had a good heart. Somebody who showed the kindness, the compassion, the mercy, the love, the care, such as God does. Again, we have these misrepresentations. And I was pointing this out. I always point this out. There's a snake in the garden. Well, what could snake mean? You've met some foul people in your life and you call them a snake. Just like that. Anyway, this was one of those things, you know, somebody after his own heart. And we have to look at that sensibly because, and theologically, because God created David. So that's exactly what it was. But it's absolutely wonderful. Us today, because we're locked into these worldly things, because we're locked into the boundaries of the foundations of the earth, the very foundations God laid, as I said, how could we possibly understand all the wisdom? We think more of ourselves than we should. And I think that is the biggest problem, is we think we're righteous in our own minds, in our own hearts and everything, but we weren't the same as some of the people back then where he's like, God, test my heart. Look at my heart. Know me. Because God can. He can look right inside of us and he can know what's going on. So he knows of our sincerity. And I've caught myself. There's been times I'll say a prayer and it's not because I'm in the mood to talk to God or anything else. I was being selfish and in my own. And that's what we are when we're like that. Selfish. I'll admit that. You know, but I'm going to pray to you because it's a regulation or I have to do it. Instead of doing it sincerely and saying, you know what? Okay, I got all these things going on. Let me just take a break. Let me pray to God. He'll show me how to figure this out, which he does anyway. That's how much he takes on our burdens. And that's part of taking on our burdens. It's not just the problems. It's not just everything else. He takes on burden. The burdens that we create ourselves, he takes that on. And what is his power? Well, let's get a perspective. And I want you to listen carefully to this. A perspective as I am coming to understand it, as I'm coming to see it. We know in the Bible, it says, the very hairs of your head are counted. We know this. Well, here's the part people don't realize. God can see tomorrow. He can see yesterday. He can see today. He can see months from now. He can see years in the past. He can see everything. That's how much he is outside of this world. At any time, he can go back, he can go forward, or whatever. That's power. The next one, power of God. You think the number on your hairs, right? Now, that's everybody on earth. That's 8 billion people. He knows every single hair on their head. Now, let's enter into the factor. We already know that's powerful. Let's enter into the factor. He knows every footstep of all those people. Every blink of the eye, every breath they're going to take, every hair they're going to lose, okay? How many days of their life, how many breaths they're going to take? He knows all about every single insect in this world, where they're going to, where they've come from, where they're going to crawl to, how many have flapped their wings and everything else, how they live, how long they'll live. Well, I mean, there's nothing that they don't know, you know, that he doesn't know. And go ahead and understand every cloud, every raindrop, every storm, every lightning. He knows all the waves and which way they go. He knows the dust of the earth, where it's coming from, where it's going to, the winds, where they come from, where they go to. Why? Because he's in control of it all. And he's the one that tells it where to go. Those beautiful skylines that you see, that's God. All these beautiful sights, everything that you see, that's God. Everything works in perfect harmony. Why you don't like it, and you might think, hey, why does he even do this? I mean, what kind of a God would do this? How do you know what his thinking is? Maybe there's a bigger purpose there. We sure found that out with Job. I mean, Zophar, Bildad, and Eliphaz all thought Job did something wrong. He didn't know that Satan came up and sat here and told God, hey, listen, your boy is going to curse you the second you take good things from him and take that hedge away. He didn't know that was going on. They didn't know. And yet, the only one who could point out any right in that whole group was the one who's coming along, Elihu. And he comes along and tells them, and was mad at all of them. He was mad at those three for not disputing Job. He was mad at Job for the way Job was behaving. And that's when God had spoke to Job. And we went over that last week. You could see the power of God every day. How many blades of grass there are, how many leaves are on the tree, which leaves are going to fall, when they're going to fall, how the seasons are, how much snow is going to fall here or there. You know, floods, he'd tell you where it's coming, where it's going. I mean, there's nothing that he doesn't see. He is everywhere. He is all-seeing, all-knowing, and omnipotent, omnipresent, omnipowerful. I mean, if we could understand that fact and understand that this world, this in the confines that we're stuck in, and how vast his array goes beyond those confines, how vast his power goes beyond those confines, then we would know God a little bit better. Now, tonight, I'm going to be off a little bit early because I've got Thanksgiving to prepare for tomorrow. I would tell you all this. I would, you know, when you go tomorrow and you're going to see your family, relatives, loved ones, traveling, plane, car, whatever, be kind. Take a thought into understanding other people. They might be having a bad day. They might not be. Maybe the holidays aren't a good time for them. I know that's true with veterans. That's for sure. It's very hard when you see people struggle. Don't add to it. You know, instead, stand back. Be that blessing that they don't have in the name of God. Give God his glory. You be the one to step in. You be the one to give that blessing. You be the one to give that love when there doesn't seem like there's any love around. That's the cool thing. Watch the world change when we can start acting and behaving that way. So be good to each other. Praise our Father. Glorify him. Everything we have, everything good comes from God. Everything you have is God's. He's just entrusted you to watch over it. Understand, it comes from this earth. It's going back to this earth. So what he's given you as far as riches, just understand it comes from him. Give him his glory. We owe it to him. And I'm going to tell you, we wouldn't be if it weren't for him. He is our God, our one and only God. And have a loving relationship with him, and then say, thank you, God. I love you. In Jesus' name. Take care, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. And we'll be back the next Wednesday. And you guys take care.